It doesn't matter how much I beat on Joe. He's never figured out that I'm just teasing.
I understand.
You just can't handle it. It's all right.
I understand.
Calum takes it better than you. He already gets it. He's brand new. He's been here 2 weeks. Actually, this is week two. Good for you, Calum. Mm-hmm. Good for your Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
I'll get into it.
How about them Cowboys?
It's kind of... Let's just say I won't be doing the amount of Cowboys praising that other places will. Stay tuned, because I'm talking about Canada basketball first. Did you guys wake up? Be honest. Tell the truth. Who woke up? No chance, Joe.
Nope, I did not wake up.
Armin, definitely.
I'm up, baby.
You woke up for Canada basketball, Calum?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't. I just thought you were asking if I'm up right now. I'm feeling alive, JD. I'm feeling alive.
I'm really
enjoying this Monday.
You're just training on the board? Settle down. All right? Settle down, Caleb. I'm alive. Just interrupt the show.
9 a.m.?
Yeah. Who woke up for Canada basketball, Caleb? Just, you're the guy in Jeopardy who's not letting the question finish. Just jamming the button.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Yell the answer.
Armin, you definitely woke up.
100%. I was up 4:29 a.m.
Yeah, attaboy. Oh, you did the full. Simon?
Oh, wow.
You know the answer to it. I did not wake up.
Oh, that's pathetic. I'm disappointed in you. That actually upsets me, because I would have considered you a Canada basketball ride or die.
I am, normally.
And here's the thing. None of you have an excuse. Mackie, did you wake up?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, obviously not. Yeah. That's pathetic. Honestly, okay, so this is just Armin and I. Everybody else is out. I was at a cottage, a beautiful cottage, where it was like, there was a basketball court, pickleball court, bocce ball court, like, expensive-ass boat, doing wake surfing, doing games all day, drank like a champion, played a basketball game multiple times, went wake surfing on the water all day long in the sun. I would say conservatively, 18 drinks, an edible, a day after something else, you know? Like, I put in some work this weekend, and guess who is still up for Canada basketball? This guy, streaming it on his phone, laying in a bed, thinking he was going to die. thinking to himself, I need to write something down from this, but my brain is not connecting. I will say this. Essentially, the first half was nothing, because I was so brain dead that I wasn't even registering the state of play. I'll be honest. I just wanted to blow it almost one way or the other so I could just go back to sleep.
And second half.
It wouldn't happen. Second half, brilliant. Canada basketball is just the better team. Dylan Brooks is playing just unbelievable basketball. I'm watching them. I'm going, I can't believe this is happening. I was a little pissed. I'm just going to say, I don't think that there's an asterisk at all, but USA having the couple of guys out sick, especially Jaren Jackson Jr. when they didn't have any size, was a little upsetting, because when I woke up the next morning to tell the other guys in the house that we won this basketball game, to which they were like, you woke up for that? That's insane. Their response was, did USA really send their guys? Which sucks, because that's the first question people were going to ask when Canada beats USA at basketball. Yep. That like a casual fan. So to me, being at a house full of, again, anecdotal evidence, but being at a house full of guys who are sports fans but not hardcores, none of them really knowing what the stakes of Canada was in this game, but kind of loosely understanding that they qualified for the Olympics, mm-hmm. was a bit of an indicator that, okay, people, it's a little closer to the World Cup stuff than we'd actually like to admit. You know, with the World Cup, when people went, whoa, we're in the World Cup, who's our team? We know Alfonso Davies, we know maybe Jonathan David. Not a lot after that. Kind of get to know the team in the World Cup, and then that's it.
Yeah.
With Canada basketball, I think it's going to be a similar feeling, like ramping up to the Olympics, a bit of the previews. That's when people are going to go, whoa, we beat the United States. They had some NBA players on that roster, some good NBA players on that roster. That's meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
When Mikal Bridges, well, my reaction when he, first of all, was a line violation, and they should have known that immediately. Like, they really should have. There was a couple of times in this tournament where Canada got banged for some line violations, and it's a pretty common thing to watch for when you're an official, and guys are, like, you don't really need to look for anything other than just the line violation, but who cares? It makes it sweeter in the end. He gets the ball, he goes to the corner, and he hits a four-point play. And I'm, again, laying in bed, and I don't know if it's all the alcohol, the 2 hours of sleep, whatever. I thought I was going to be sick. I went, I cannot believe I did this to myself. I can't believe I woke up to just watch another torturous Canada basketball moment. Are they going to be able to stay composed? Are they going to be able to stick with this And can they actually win in overtime after such a horrific moment? Mm-hmm. And they do it. And here's all I can think is they grew so much in this tournament. I know they had a brilliant start. I know they looked pretty much wonderful out of the gate in the second half of the France game. Slow start, good finish. France kind of fell apart. They end up blowing them out. What was it, the Morocco game? That's the only one I didn't watch. Lebanon, that was it. Sorry, whoops. Yeah, I was going to say a non-basketball country that they just wiped the floor with. All right, keep it moving. They get into Latvia, another slow start, but they beat them pretty convincingly. Everything's totally fine. The blip in the road, obviously, being Brazil, where they really underperform. And then a Spanish game where it was a lot of lows. It was truly a lot of lows. And they kind of got to stick around in that game for a little while of it because of free throws. They get some clutch shots down the end. But it is a nail biter for them where they almost missed the Olympics. They get into the next round. They beat Luka Doncic pretty convincingly. Again, an easy win. And then a tough loss to Serbia. So then they get in this final against the States. And I thought this was their best, most complete game. Their guys really got up for it basically the entire time through. And what I love about this group is that by the end of the tournament, they just made their identity very clear. They are a tough team. They play relentless perimeter defense and can turn that into offense as good as any team in the tournament. They're incredibly skilled, and they have one of, if not the best player in this tournament. It'll be to be determined kind of where he lands once they get to the Olympics. But you know you're going to have one of the best guys on the planet on your team creating shots. Yeah. And it's a lot easier to stay composed as a group when you have the best guy on the team. Like, that's just an easier thing. So something like that happens, and they're looking around, and they're going, man, who the hell is going to take over for this? And if you recall, when they blew it to Venezuela, right, Andrew Wiggins was the guy at the time. But it felt like we really wanted him to be the guy. And he played a good tournament. He was solid. But it's Kelly Olynyk who's bringing the ball up there that falls and turns the ball over because Canada didn't really have a guy in the clutch moments. Now they do. They clearly have the guy in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And if Jamal Murray shows up for the Olympics and he's able to play, brilliant. You're going to have two of the guys. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has, like, unequivocally, he's so good that I kept watching these games thinking, where should we be putting Oklahoma City in the playoff conversation? Like, this guy is good enough to carry any basketball team. I don't care who you put around him, scrubs, and they actually might have better basketball players. And I liked this Canada team. It really felt like they came together down the stretch, and they were just very likable at the end. I loved the way they celebrated it, which was not too cocky, but clearly, hey, we just did something damn cool. I loved Lou Dort standing for the team photo. Hard stance from Lou Dort.
That photo's so sick.
That's a great photo. And that bronze medal, I'm usually not a bronze medal guy. In the Olympics, I do the clap. I'm like, yes. When it's a wrestler who gets a bronze and it goes up in the tally.
Yeah.
Like, nice.
It's a medal.
Yeah. If it's World Cup of Soccer for the women's side, when it's the third place finish, I'm like, all right, let's do this. Let's get third. Mm-hmm. Major tournament like that normally. Having it be against, I'll be honest, if this was Canada versus Germany, mm-hmm. I do not think I would have woken up for this game.
Yeah.
It was Canada versus the United States.
Yeah.
And we were the better team. They had NBA All-Stars. Like, Tyrese Haliburton was out there.
Mm-hmm.
Mikal Bridges was out there. I don't think that this is any kind of, like, weird asterisk loss.
Yeah.
This was just a really, really great moment for Canada basketball, one of my favorites ever. And, yeah, I was up. That was all the coffee I needed, was watching this team kind of come together in overtime. And, yeah, so good to beat the U.S. What I missed out of that game, Armin?
No, I feel like you hit all the nails on the head. USA was stacked still with NBA talent. I've heard some people bringing up their sickness and whatever.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter. Even with Jaren Jackson Jr. playing, he wasn't doing much all tournament anyway. He's kind of a fast guy, so that wouldn't have bothered Canada, I don't think.
I don't like that they're trying to get Joel Embiid.
Such a good feeling by the end. It feels like they came together.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks became like prime Kobe for a bit.
Dude. So. Well, this is the other thing.
Though. Overall, now I'm looking forward to the Olympics.
Yeah, that's the next thing is the Dylan Brooks story is now beautiful. It's because even when he put us in, I shouldn't say just him, but he was the main reason. He was the best player in the qualifier game against Spain. Yeah. He was the settling force. He was the big shot maker. He was the energy that they needed. He came up with big rebounds at big times. For him to now have had this tournament where he was so great, he becomes now FIBA Brooks. I can't wait to see how he carries this into the NBA season. I think it will have a real positive effect on him. But I also thought, if you're the other Canadian guys and you're Jamal Murray, like guys like Jamal Murray already want to go, right? But moving forward with this Canada basketball program, seeing a guy like Dylan Brooks have this much success and be able to turn his narrative around, at least in a country, seeing this group of players when they're going and taking those photos, seeing them beat the United States, what is this going to do for the future, right? Because I think when you have a program like this, you can, and again, to bring it back to Canada soccer, you can get nervous pretty quickly. Like, things change with Canada soccer quick. Mm-hmm. And this basically goes to any type of organization. If you have a crappy org, bad ownership, bad leadership,
bad culture,
bad history, things, you can't be guaranteed about the future. Like, Armin, you're wearing your Lakers hat right now. That's one of the beauties about being a Lakers fan. You have a down year, two down seasons, you trade a bunch of draft picks, people are going, Lakers suck. And you say, actually, there is a lot of stability in this organization. They will figure it out. They have a history of winning success. They do have a winning culture. They'll figure it out. And boom, all of a sudden you have LeBron and Anthony Davis and you're back in a championship game, right?
Free agent sign there,
yeah,
all the time.
It's just the immediacy of these turnarounds. Miami Heat, same thing. How many years are you going to be down when you have Pat Riley there, yeah, right? Canada basketball doesn't have the luxury of that. This is not a rich historic program of success. This is a historically disappointing program. To have this much NBA talent, to tell people that you have the second most NBA talent in the world and that you haven't been to an Olympics since 2000 is a farce.
Yeah.
They finally put something together. You want to be able to maintain the momentum. But the reason why I especially love the USA game, outside of them just really solidifying that identity and showing themselves in that composure in the overtime, is that this just looks fun. I cannot imagine being Benedict Mathurin and watching this and going, I'm good. Like, I'm good. I'll just play for the Pacers. I'll just stick to my NBA stuff. I would imagine that if you're a Canadian basketball player and you saw those guys beat the United States and you know you could be competitive with the United States, that it would even be a conversation. And knowing that America is going to be far more loaded when they go to the Olympics. But again, a lot of those guys are going to end up being there. This is the same type of commit. You mentioned it, Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, he's going to be one of their bigs. They have a bit of the same problem as Canada. That's why they're trying to recruit Joel Embiid, which would be so annoying if that happens. If that happens, somebody's got to step in.
We got to figure out the rules.
No.
He should play for Cameroon.
He should play for Cameroon, and apparently, like, he could potentially play for France too, which would also be annoying because Rudy Gobert is the best reason to believe France sucks, just having him on the floor. Yeah. Just the human loser. Yeah. literally the world's biggest loser.
Loser personified.
Yeah. But I just can't. Those guys, watching this tournament, watching those games, watching those highlights, seeing Shea hit that crossover in overtime.
Yeah.
That was the first time I've seen a help defender get dropped on a crossover.
How could you watch that and not want to be a part of it? How would you not feel that little bit of excitement? Wanting to be a part of that group, wanting to say, hey, thank you for your service, Carlton legend Phil Scrubb, but I've got to take that roster spot from you. I want to be an option on the bench. So I just feel so great about the program right now. I feel so great for the diehards who woke up like Armin, like me, not like Simon, apparently. Whoops.
Yeah.
Didn't know that you were such a fraud of a basketball
fan.
Simon. Yeah. If it was an LA Sparks game, you would have woken up, but not for Canada basketball.
Mercury.
Yeah.
They play Mercury late.
You would have been there,
you're
but not this.
You're picking West Coast teams. They play late, guys.
Yeah, exactly. You stayed up. You stayed up for the exact same
stayed
hours.
Stayed up till 2.
I really do feel happy about the diehards being rewarded because people have stuck with this program, and naturally you do because you're Canadian, you love basketball. Like, you're not going to just give up on them. That's just not really a thing.
Yep.
But that people got rewarded with a really cool moment and that you get to kind of savor that. It's a little bit of an indie hit now before the Olympics. You're like, I was there for Venezuela. I was there for the last chance tournament, you know? I was there for the disappointment when we tried to host, and I was there at 4:30 in the morning supporting this team as they played the United States for the runner-up medal.
That's truly a journey.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to support a team from the bottom and then get it up to the top. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm really optimistic about Canada basketball. I'm really proud of those guys for the way that they played in this tournament, and I love having the tough team, and that is them. They are a tough team, and that's a cool thing about international basketball, too, is seeing that show up and having that be like a country trait that they played with, the toughness to persevere in overtime, the toughness in which they kind of dug in on defense for large stretches of that tournament, the toughness of Dylan Brooks showing up and becoming, player of the tournament, a guy who's now going to be a bit of a FIBA legend. FIBA Brooks is absolutely going to be a thing. Yeah, I'm I'm thrilled. Mm-hmm. I'm truly, truly thrilled. Like, I went to a cottage weekend with some great friends, did a million activities, and my number one thing that I came away with was the basketball team.
Yeah, the basketball.
Watched in bed, hungover as hell. At 4:30 in the morning.
Anyway. I have an important follow-up question. Did you go back to sleep after the game, or were you just...
Nah, not really. I was up.
So were you up solo in the cottage at that point?
Yeah, I just went and started to clean the grounds a little bit. Just thinking to go mumbling to myself, like, that was so sweet. That was
so you're up at 6:37 and just...
Doing machinations of the Olympic team. Yeah. And then getting to go watch football.
Also, pitching it in the cleanup, by the way. Hungover post game. Good job by you. That's a good cottage guest right there.
You always have to do
that. Real good cottage guest. You can come to my cottage anytime.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, no. I'm a top tier shows up in the morning, no matter what.
You're not like getting up early on the Sunday and like, all right, guys, I'm out of here immediately.
No.
That's the worst kind of person.
Yeah, it is the worst kind of person.
No, the worst kind of person is not the one who wakes up immediately and goes. It's the person who actually sleeps in.
And then
of the cleanup, and then it's all done, and then they come down and
go. Wow, it looks great in here.
Yeah. Good job, guys. You ready to go?
Oh, it's so clean.
You hear the cleanup happening, and they'll just fake sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Like, oh, sorry, guys. I was asleep.
Take two Advils before you go to sleep. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Get up. Help with the cleanup.
Drink a lot of water. Eat a bagel.
As soon as I hear a footstep, I'm up there. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, fun times. Yeah, it's let the times begin. I'm not here to sleep in. I will say I think it's a little bit different for dads.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't have kids. Sleep is something that I can just do. Mm-hmm. I can just have it whenever I want it. And so for those dads that go, I've never slept till 10 a.m.
Ever?
since I've had children, I go, take your sleep.
Yeah. Especially if, like, they're going out for the weekend to, like, get away, have some time.
100%. Anyways, I did get back in time. I left, made sure the cleanup was done so that I could get back in time for NFL football.
Mm.
There was no nap taken, but I will say thank you to the New York Giants for not making me stay up.
Yeah.
I was hurting. Once that was, like, little lull period happened after the witching hour,
in
the 4 o'clock games, that's when I started
it's like
to...
that 40 minute.
Oh, yeah, that's when I was really feeling it. And I missed the block field goal. Because I was like, I fell asleep on the couch for a minute, and then I kind of woke up, and I went, oh, and all I saw was Dallas running the ball into the end zone. I was like, what happened here?
Yeah.
So I didn't see the very beginning of that, but then I obviously, halftime, I was like, dun, 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 shut it down. We are going to bed.
Already up 26.
Yeah, I was done. I completely hit the wall, so I have no idea what happened in the second half. Anyways, everybody does their NFL overreactions week one. It's a fun thing to do. I love it. I'm going to do it with all you guys, football fans. But yeah, I'm going to do my overreactions in tiers. So ones that mattered from both negative and positive standpoint. Teams that get benefit of the doubt. I'll go through the categories on the other side. I'm going to break down this week of NFL watching, in which I watched every single game, at least a piece of every single game. God, there's nothing sweeter than purchasing the Sunday ticket, hitting that button. Just like, would you like to purchase it? They could, I don't want to tell this to the Rogers execs, but they could make that thing so much more money to me, and I wouldn't bat an eye. Like, I get it for other people, but it's just like, they flash the number up, and I've never once not looked at it and gone, steal!
Yeah, sounds worth it.
Immediately, bang, Sunday ticket in my house, on my massive TV, let's go. Anyway, overreactions from week one in the NFL next.
Sportsnet 590.
All right, last thing on Canada basketball. The brilliance of Shea. The tenacity of Brooks. You know that resonated with the States and USA basketball, because today LeBron, Steph, and KD have all committed to USA basketball for the Olympics.
They jumped on it.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Nah. Again, I already told you to settle down. You're way too comfortable. I really gotta shift some of my Jobo beating back to Calum, because he's just like, I'm the star of the show now, right? I'll just jump in and tell everybody I'm awake. Give them the LeBron will be 40. KD's injury prone. Steph. Yeah, I have nothing
to say. That's a tough
one. You can't really. The guy could have one leg and still drop.
Actually,
30.
No, you know what I have to say about Steph? Steph's like not really an alpha. I read that article about the Hampton Five when they pitched KD. Did you guys read that? The Athletic put one together where they did like a synopsis of everything that happened during the Hampton Five thing. And it's like, if you're really an alpha, why would you want KD to come to the Warriors? You just beat him. you lost one time, and you're like, let's get the super team. I'm afraid to play the really. So, yeah, he doesn't get criticized enough for that. KD takes all the heat. Why not Steph? Steph was the best player on that team. He could have looked around and been like, we don't need him. We got us. He didn't. So, yeah, kind of front runner. Kind of like my boy DK Metcalf. Getting a little pissed off about this. Like a little bit of front runner. Okay, time for NFL reactions. I'm starting with the negative ones, obviously. So I have three that mattered. Three that really mattered from a negative standpoint, and I'm going to start with the Steelers. The overreaction is clear. The hype was way overstated. I get that the Niners are an awesome team. The Niners are a loaded team. That a healthy Niners offense feels like they're just going to walk to the Super Bowl. That by the end of the year, it's just going to be Chiefs who will have figured it out. They'll be in the AFC Championship game, or they'll win the AFC Championship game, and they'll be in the Super Bowl. And then that Niners team, if you can just keep Ayuk and Debo and Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams, if these guys can just stay upright, this is going to be a positive and a negative overreaction to these two teams. Because I guess maybe I'm starting with a positive one. That Niners team is just so good. The defense was in Kenny Pickett's face all day long.
Yeah.
They dominated that game.
Purdy looked good.
But the thing with Purdy is that he's well protected and he has all the weapons in the world.
It's not like you need to do that much, but I'm just saying, like, people pregame were talking about, like, oh, like, they don't know if he's going to have the ability to, like, drive the ball, if his arm strength is going to be all the way back.
They don't need him to.
He was fine. Yeah. No. He just needs to spread it out.
He just has to do his job.
Oh, yeah. He spreads the ball out. He has a million great targets. And then all of a sudden during the game, after he's just been pummeling you with Kittle and Debo and Ayuk, who was phenomenal in that game.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful touchdowns. All of a sudden, you can just pitch it to CMC, and it feels like a cheat code. And you go, this is not fair. Yeah. This isn't right. How did you get all these guys? How did you get all these dudes? This is unbelievable. This is a team that, like, traded DeForest Buckner and traded three first-round picks to get Trey Lance, and they're this loaded? Yeah. Infuriating. So, yeah, it just feels like pitch and catch. They're playing in a game where it's like flag football, where you go one steamboat, two steamboat. That's how much time Derek Purdy seems to have, or Brock Purdy seems to. I don't know why I was
Derek
that.
Purdy. Yeah, Derek Carr.
I've done that a million times. I told you if I knew a guy named that, and it's back. It's just immediately back.
Week one, the
misnomer of that. Week one, right away. Brock Purdy. So he's just pitching around the yard, and I guess my overreaction to this is, you watch the other NFC teams. Some of them had good showings. Mm-hmm. I liked what we saw from the Lions against the Chiefs. I thought that was a gutty effort, even though it was, unfortunately, more about the Chiefs. Their own division, Seahawks nightmare, I'll get to. Saints scored 17 points. You think the Packers, as good as they showed, are going to beat that Niners team this year? Like, the Eagles have a tough start, but that one goes into a different category. If you're a Niners fan...
Cowboys were the only other team that... really laid it, but I'm not sure you can really read all that much.
That's what I'm saying. If you're a Niners fan and you're just looking at the landscape, there's a bit of pressure to this season.
Yeah.
This is a big time Super Bowl or bust year for this team. You've got all these guys coming into the season healthy. You've got the right coach. You've got the right team. All the pieces are in place. You got Bosa's deal done.
Yep.
Got Fred Warner in his prime, who's just flying around there.
Mm-hmm.
I love Fred Warner because every single time they do a broadcast, the broadcast teams always act as though none of us have ever heard of him before. They still try to, Fred Warner, guys aren't really talked about enough. It's just, what? He's the best linebacker in football. Every Niners game I've ever watched has been a poem to Fred Warner from whoever's covering the game.
Yeah.
Fred Warner, the sneaky good player.
Sneaky good.
No, he's around. We get it. We get the Fred Warner thing. We don't need this anymore. We don't need to be scolded about not paying enough attention to Fred Warner. Their whole team is good.
Greenlaw too, running around.
But the Steelers, I'm sorry, that mattered. You might recover, but all of a sudden you've got this game against the Browns immediately where there's a ton of pressure on Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game where you get punched in the mouth and you got to respond right away.
They folded.
And they just went down.
Just right away.
TJ Watt was still a beast. He was incredible that entire game. The only guy that was like really scrapping and clawing. I think Patrick Peterson guaranteed that he was going to get an interception in that game.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he got barbecued for both TDs.
Purdy had something post game talking about like how he knew he got him on one of the touchdowns. Yeah. Had a little smile on it.
Ooh.
They all knew.
Tomlin will have that team level. They'll still finish solid. But here's the thing. You want it to be a Super Bowl contender, and you're going to say, oh, JD, it's week one. How could you say it? You're not. You're not that. Kenny Pickett's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback this year. Like, that's not the happening. Thing.
Like, everybody was trying to talk about how Pickett had taken that step. Like, oof, man, there was nothing going on.
Do you really think, Steelers fans, that you're going to beat Mahomes after that? You really think that you're going to win your division after that? You really think that you could face that Niners team again with your offensive line or the Eagles with their Eagles sneaky bad performance by the D-line? Mm-hmm. Other than Jalen Carter, who the Seahawks passed on, and I'll never live that down. I think that might go to my grave as number two, right below the Seahawks interception with Malcolm Butler, as the most painful thing that I've ever witnessed, like passing on Jalen Carter so that they could take a cornerback who gets hurt and I think is already a bust. he hasn't played a game. I'm like, he's a bust.
Week one overreaction? Whole
Seahawks, yeah, it's a bust. He's a bust.
The Steelers aren't going to give him up by the Browns next week in their defensive line.
I don't think they've got to deal with another horrible defense. Like, Pickett's going to have more just...
Miles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith? Are you kidding me?
They'll look fine in that. I think they'll look better in that game. I really do. I think they'll look better in that game. I think the Steelers are still going to be a good team. But a lot of people were predicting, 12 wins for this team, that they were going to be around, that they shouldn't be at the bottom of the division, blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking at it now, and I went, I just don't buy it. This was preseason. You guys went 3-0 in preseason a year before. You went 3-0 this year in the preseason. I'm sorry, but it's just the Steelers, you're not there yet. It's not happening for you. You're not winning a Super Bowl this year. If that was the goal, if that was the parameter, I'm sorry. And I know not all of you are doing that. And some of you are going, no, the team's going to be good. And we want to learn more about Pickett when he has time in the pocket. Man, I like a quarterback too, though. And I'm not saying that anybody even thought he was going to be this way. And I'm going to get into this when I absolutely eviscerate Geno Smith.
Nice.
I like a quarterback where it doesn't need to be everything going perfectly right for them to be competent and good.
Right. Yeah.
Where it's just the excuse all game is the pocket collapsed. Oh, there was pressure in his face. You go, yeah, that's the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's the game.
Sometimes you have those.
Yeah. Sometimes
you need to be able to like.
Sometimes you just got to make a play. Yeah. And Kenny Pickett doesn't seem like a play guy to me.
Mm. Small hands.
They're just the major thing that I would take away from it, though, is that their offensive line does not look nearly up to snuff. Maybe it gets there throughout the course of the season because it could coalesce.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm overreacting to that Steelers loss. I think that one mattered.
I love week one overreactions, man.
Yeah,
I'm happy we're doing this. Let's go.
Yeah, it's the best.
I was overreacting to my fantasy team a lot yesterday.
Yeah. Overreaction number two. Yeah, I bet you it sucked and no one cares. So don't bring it up again. No one cares about your fantasy team. No one even knows who you are, Jeppo. So two, the Seahawks. My team. Nightmare. Absolute nightmare. They lose both their tackles. Maybe they come back. But this is a Rams team that was a defense with Aaron Donald and you couldn't name a guy. And all of a sudden, there's dudes named Puka Nacua and something else.
Tutu Atwell.
Tutu and Puka. Atwell. Just eviscerating.
The boys.
The secondary of Pete Carroll, who is supposed to be the defensive back guru. The defensive back that they had last year, Tariq Woolen. Who's a Pro Bowler? He's a gem. He's a find. He's getting absolutely torched by a guy named Tutu all game long. Not good. Seattle in the second half had like 6 yards of total offense.
Yeah,
then they ran the ball at the end of the game. They were like, oh, okay, I think they got up to 12. It was a nightmare. And same thing. Geno Smith is what I've said all along. I've never been a Geno Smith guy. I hated last year. I thought it was a mirage. You look at their last 10 games. I think they've got 3 wins. They had a good start to the season. They rode some momentum. They had some Geno Smith buzz. He's a guy who can deliver the ball when he's got some time. But when you need a guy to create a play or move outside the pocket or not feel it when he's under duress, he just turns into the same thing as you guys have, which is Derek Carr, except for maybe a lesser accomplished version of Derek Carr. At least Derek Carr has put up some more consistent seasons.
Are you saying a poor man's Derek Carr?
Yeah, I don't think Geno Smith is good. I do not.
No, I'm with you.
So the offensive line is in tatters. They have 2 running backs. They took one in the second round. Like, he gets some limited carries. I'm like, I don't see anything here so far.
Mm-hmm.
They got another running back they took a year before who looks solid.
Yeah, he looks
not amazing.
Okay.
High draft picks. I'm watching Bijan later, and I know that that's a top pick. Watch Jahmyr Gibbs. I know that that's a top pick. Those guys, it's like, that's what you spend draft pick capital on.
Yeah.
Dudes who look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Dudes who just look like you could have picked them off any single team in the 7th round, and I wouldn't have known a difference, is what Seattle has. The defense is a nightmare. They have 0 blue chippers on defense. 0. Like, there's nothing there. And maybe Devin Witherspoon comes back. Maybe Jamal Adams, the worst trade possibly in NFL history, comes back and helps that secondary. But it's just, they got carved in every single way by Matthew Stafford, who, by the way, I will say some credit. You got to give credit to them. They're extremely well coached with Sean McVay. I should have known it. I threw it in the Cowards parlay like an idiot. The first two legs cover, and then, of course, the last leg. It's my own team. It's just extra suffering. Sean McVay kind of owns Pete Carroll. But Matthew Stafford looked brilliant. And that part was not just Seattle's incompetence. This was a guy who was making throws, beautiful dimes all game long, immediate chemistry with his players. Maybe he was just throwing people off with that whole his wife and the he doesn't play cards with anyone or whatever the hell that
doesn't
was.
Doesn't relate to the young players.
But if that Rams team was one of the groups that you were throwing into the Caleb Williams draft, and we talked about it many times, where maybe they were, there's no chance, not with that quarterback healthy. Matthew Stafford playing like that, that I thought, other than Tua, there was a case that he was the best quarterback of week one. I'm even kind of struggling to figure out who the other person would be. He was awesome in that game. Truly, truly awesome. But yeah, Seattle, just the idea that you're close to San Francisco is already dead. You're not. That's the team that whooped your ass in the playoffs last year. That's a team that's going to whoop your ass now. You have zero comparison in terms of talent to that team in any regard. Like, there's nothing. There's nothing that Seattle has that can be compared to what San Francisco has in any shape. Like, go through the team.
Yeah.
Try to find me a place where you think Seattle and them line up. It's quarterback. Like, maybe Geno could be Brock Purdy.
Possibly.
And Brock Purdy probably pretty similar to Geno. But outside of that, nothing. One team is loaded. One team is kind of crap. And I'm already, after one game, I'm already like, lose to the Lions, and then that Panthers game is huge in the Caleb Williams. Like, all of a sudden you're 0-3.
This is over hard pivot. I like this.
All of a sudden you're 0-3, and you've got a chance. You've got a hope. I believe the same thing I've always believed, which is that Pete Carroll's days as an elite coach are over, that he's a guy who can get the team up to being good, not great.
Mm-hmm.
And that they just, as good as some of this last year's draft was in terms of injecting with good players, and this one got hyped up too, they just lack blue chip talent in Seattle, and it shows up over and over and over and over again. And unfortunately, I don't even think DK Metcalf is that blue chip talent. Like, I just don't. Like, he's a crybaby. It's just enough. Enough of the meltdowns. Like, this is too many years in the NFL for this to continuously happen with this guy, where he's taking those backbreaking penalties against his own team.
Such a dumb hit.
Tyler Lockett gets hurt
last night too.
I think JSN might be a blue chipper, but he came off a wrist injury, and who knows what he's going to be. Anyways, if you're picking up guys in fantasy this week, I would go with the Puka guy. As someone who watched the entire game painfully,
he didn't seem to be open. The time.
He was very good. It actually threw in. Do you know who suffers from this? Cooper Kupp.
Because
these guys look exactly like Cooper Kupp.
Kupp got injured and just replaced him with Puka.
Cooper Kupp, the triple crown that he had from 2 years ago, might be more about Matthew Stafford than him. Anyway, keep it moving. Number three in the overreactions that matter in terms of a negative, and an overreaction that matters in terms of a positive, too. So this is a double dip.
Mm-hmm. A little double dip.
The Chicago Bears.
Oof. Oh, my goodness.
That's a tough one.
This one goes worse than I think all of them, because the Packers have owned you. Like, did you see Preston Smith's tweet? Mm-hmm. I've never lost to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, never lost.
Ouch. I know a couple Chicago Bears fans. They really buy into the Justin Fields thing.
Oh, yeah.
They believed. Remember the walking around after the Bears made that DJ Moore trade?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They got him a playmaker.
They got him a playmaker. And now if you look at it, it's Mooney.
Yeah.
It's Moore.
Some of the Bears fans that I know had Fields like inside like the top 10 after this year and stuff like that.
He was a buzzy MVP guy before the season.
Yeah, he was.
He threw for the Justin Fields stat line.
Yeah.
Behind all game, 200 yards passing and a loss to the Packers. This is a time is a flat circle thing. If you're a Bears fan, you watch Jordan Love come in there, throw three touchdown passes, look brilliant, look composed.
Watch another new Packers quarterback come in. And
and not only that, he did it without his top receiver.
Yeah.
His second receiver dinged up.
Dubs playing like that.
And then they lost Aaron Jones in the game to a hamstring injury. Like, their left tackle was walking into the game hurt. The Bears have no excuse. The Bears went out and got DJ Moore. Do you guys know what his stats were?
He had two catches.
Yeah.
Two catches.
Do you know how many targets?
Two.
Yeah, two. Correct. That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Playmaker.
I don't know.
25 yards, baby.
I don't know. Here's all I have to say to the Bears. You might be in it with me as a Seahawks fan, hoping your team sucks so you can get Caleb Williams. This might be you're moving off a Justin Fields thing more quickly than we thought. Like, how much of this are you going to see where there's just not even the flashes, where you're just seeing the athleticism.
Yeah.
And you're not seeing any of the playmaking down the field, or you're still seeing the same thing. He holds onto the ball so long, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get rid of it. Just, can I see Justin Fields have a three-step drop and just deliver a football on time? Is that too much to ask if I'm a Bears fan? Anyways, for that thing to happen right out of the gate, where it's just a beatdown at the hands of your greatest rival in a year where you're supposed to have some optimism that you're taking a step forward, that your team might have some playmakers, that your offense might look different, mm-hmm. that they might take a step forward. Just a very similar thing. No pass rush, ugly defense, quarterback that can't make plays down the field, and a non-factor game from all of your playmakers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nightmare for the Bears. Nightmare.
Nightmare.
Nightmare. The other side of that, though, is the Packers and the positive. What, you have a stat?
Yeah, so the Bears and the Packers have played 63 times since Favre came into the league, 92, or came to the Packers in 92. They've lost 48 of them. So the Bears are 15-48 against the Packers since Favre came into the league.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Got to Green Bay.
That is really not fun.
No, not at all.
The only one I can remember where they were having a great time is the one where they hurt Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of the season.
Gotta have an injury. Yeah.
It really does make the whole, because they love doing the whole, like, oh, it's the oldest rivalry in football, and like bringing up all the graphics and showing up all the old black and white photos. They kind of got to stop doing that until this becomes some sort of semblance of an actual
just pain.
Rivalry.
You know what's crazy, too, is like we'll get the next one we're going to get to is the Cowboys game. And see how Calum is feeling. All excited Calum. See how he leaned forward right away. He's just like, okay, never.
His hand was on the mic button immediately.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah, like,
Calum's going to cook.
Calum's going to get cooked if he turns his microphone on before I say his name again. Like, he will never step into the studio again. Like, this is your last warning. So, the Packers just, it's the Bears. So, you can't be, that's why they're kind of falling a tier down. They're not in the overreactions ones that mattered as much, just because the Bears' defense was so awful.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost want to temper expectations a bit with Jordan Love, because that was such an outrageously good performance for him. I would have liked a little bit more Luke Musgrave.
Mm.
But, man, he looked poised. There was one play where he misses the snap and he goes back and gets it and then still delivers the ball to Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, ooh, this is a player. This might actually be a guy. And it's cool, too, because now we'll end up getting to have the conversation of, do you bury quarterbacks in good organizations and let them grow?
Mm-hmm.
Do you just not worry about the way the quarterback feels about it, like the way that they handled Aaron Rodgers the last couple of years? And you do what, I think it's Andrew Brandt? No. Am I getting that wrong? Who's the guy that used to work for the Packers who was part of drafting Aaron Rodgers? That's him, right? And, yeah, he tweeted yesterday, I saw it, and he went, the best time to draft a quarterback is when you don't need one. And I went, Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers, both going to make a strong case for that one. So, yeah, big day for Packers fans, as if they didn't need more. Like,
yeah, I know. Come on.
Would have been not
just
so...
Just have a bad year.
Yeah, would have been not so bad if they would have just not been able to hit on Jordan Love, but looks like they might have something there. I don't know if he's going to be a Pro Bowler,
but he just looked really good, and he looked confident, and he looked in control, which is
that's what you're asking for.
Half the quarterbacks that we saw yesterday, really quick.
Yeah,
who's winning that division, Lions or Packers?
I'm still going to stick with the Lions for now, even though
I might go. I was pretty impressed.
I know, I was too. And you think like they're going to get their top receiver back?
Yeah.
Vikings are completely dead for you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
I have them just in... I'll just say this right now. I have a category here that is irrelevant, a.k.a. I didn't watch enough because I deemed it irrelevant out of the gate. So I'm not going to talk about Raiders, Broncos, Baltimore, Houston, although I'll say Baltimore quickly. Dobbins, the Achilles.
Crushed.
And then Marcus Williams, Tyler Linderbaum injuries right away when in a game where they didn't have... Andrews, just for a team that had a lot of injuries last year, and that was one of the stories of their season, that's a tough way to start.
Yeah.
And then, Vikings, Bucks, I have in the irrelevant, AK, I didn't watch enough, and it was like, Vikings, guess what? You were in a one-score game, and this time it went against you. And then Washington Cards, obviously. I almost tuned in, and then I saw that the Commanders had taken the lead back, and I went, they're not going to see this, so I'm not tuning into anything else. So that goes in the irrelevant stuff. But Fields, it was just non-inspiring, and Love was way more impressive. And that's just a really tough blow for a team that was looking for hope, a team that really wanted to feel like things were changing. And, that was a big one for me going into the weekend that I mentioned, and it's a big one for me now. Okay, next. The next tier is mega positive. Tua and Tyreek. This is the take. If Tua stays healthy, the Dolphins are going to have the best offense in the AFC. Like, straight up. Regular season record, they're going to have the best one. Tyreek somehow is actually underrated. We should be
getting the
Fred Warner scolding that we get, where it's like, Fred Warner's underrated. We don't need that. We need that for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but if you go even into fantasy drafts, right?
And people Jamar Chase.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, those are the guys, and then it's always like, yeah, and Tyreek, he's still almost like, it's as though we treat him where he's just a nine route guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a gadget player. Yeah. He's a trick player that can catch a deep ball. Maybe it's because he was with Mahomes early on, and so we don't know how to properly evaluate him.
Right.
Maybe it's because he's such a different receiver than we've seen, where he's just this little running back who actually gets it done and stays healthy and catches deep balls, catches short balls. It's just a problem. I said this last year at one point, and I wish I didn't walk it off, but I think that he's the best receiver in the NFL. It's like, it's him and Jefferson, clearly, to me.
Yeah.
Chase is right there in a tier below, but we do this whole route runner rankings and this ranking and that ranking, and it's just like, Tyreek is there. He just consistently gets this thing
done. He's open every time.
Yeah. 215 yards.
So dangerous all of the time. Anyways, Tua looked brilliant, and he was pressured, 8 times. He completed passes on 5 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Last year versus the Ravens in week 2, where he threw for over 400, and his weeks 8 and 10, or 8 through 10, when he was really healthy, and he racked up a ton of yards. That feels a little different now. Like, I'm just in on Tua. I'm in on the Dolphins immediately. Like, I loved what I saw. I don't know how much of this is the Chargers defense, but that's at least a competent group who was healthy and came in together. And he just carved them all game long. Him and Tyreek just absolutely decimated them all game long. And I've always liked their play caller. They were already down a running back. I just think they're going to light up the scoreboard.
Tua, they were
just
down their left tackle too, right?
Just
didn't play.
Good decision-making from Tua all game long. Gets the ball out so quickly, makes his reads, goes through his progressions really quick. He's just a winner. That's the Tua that we thought we were being promised when the Dolphins originally wanted to tank and
go
and get
Tua.
Him.
Yes, that's right.
So anyway, I think there's so much there. I think there's so much there. What a fun game, too. The only one that kind of salvaged things, because the 1 o'clock games are kind of dud.
Man, there was some sloppy football earlier.
There were some ugly ones. And then that one had 7 lead changes. And then, of course, the Chargers don't finish again. And then last thing on the Dolphins, why I'm really higher on them, too. But, like, the offense is the offense. But that Jalen Phillips guy is a superstar. He popped multiple times, and then he ends the game.
Yeah.
And I went, if you're a Dolphins fan, you've got a little bit more in there. That's the only team I'm going to go, like, extremely positive with.
Really quick from that game.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about Chargers later, cool, let me know. But where are you at with Justin Herbert?
I have Chargers at benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
That they're just the same team, like, that they were before.
Yeah, right.
I'm a little down on them in terms of, I wish I would have seen more from Herbert in that game.
I would love to see, like, a moment where Herbert, like, they missed that, the Dolphins missed that extra point.
Yeah.
And it was a 2-point game. And I was like, oh, man, this would be, like, get 60 yards and kick a game-winning field goal in a game where
like
you're up against another playoff.
Give
me something. And then the Dolphins' defense just took over.
So I have these teams in the benefit of the doubt category. Bengals. I mean, it's tough right after you make Burrow the highest-paid player in the NFL and you have 9 3 and outs, and 82 yards, and your longest pass play is 12. But there's a weirdness between those two teams. And Burrow didn't have a preseason.
Yeah,
and I've just seen too much from the Bengals to think all of a sudden like that's a huge
and the conditions seemed weird, like no one could really pass.
I don't believe it.
Deshaun Watson and Joe Burrow, like neither
no
of them pass.
No. Like
passes.
That's it. I can't put too much into that that game. Eagles, same thing. Their D line looked trash against a Patriots team that really had two non-starters on the O line, and Mac Jones wasn't pressured at all, and they kind of hung around the game all along. Patriots looked all right, but. Yeah, I'm giving the Eagles benefit of the doubt. Saints, Titans for different reasons. I just think the Saints are a good team that is going to win a mediocre division, and that the Titans are a fine team who are tough and have a really good defensive line. That D line is so fun to watch.
Yeah,
they fly around out there, but the quarterback sucks. The quarterback is just the Tannehill thing is done. It had a moment when he was Mr. Red Zone. But now it's just clear, like, he was forcing balls in all game long to Hopkins, and it wasn't working. He's making these bad reads to the sideline that kept almost getting picked off.
And Saints had three picks and could have had five.
Paulson and Debo caught one, too.
And it just feels like you almost want it, and Austin, you can jump on here, you almost want it where the Titans lose some of these games so that they can just say, you know what, screw this. We need to see what we have in the kid right away, or one of these two kids right away. Because it's just like, you're kind of that team where it's you're too good to suck, but you clearly have a ceiling with that offense where you're not going to win. And Derrick Henry can still do it. Like, he's still a badass. There were so many runs where it would just be like, everybody in the building knows it's going to Derrick Henry, and he's still chunking you for 6 yards. He had that one stiff arm, that nasty.
Oh, my goodness. Whoo,
that just, he chucked somebody.
Marcus May.
Yeah.
Just got tossed.
Yeah, Marcus May. Sorry, buddy. That
just got tossed.
That was a tough one.
That was in the first quarter, too. That was, like, right away.
And then the other thing with the Titans, too, is I like Vrabel. He's tough. But he's almost just, like, a little too old school, a little too tough. Like, he kicks the field goal with two minutes left.
Deep in Saints
down
territory.
Down a touchdown. I'm like,
deep in Saints territory.
What are we doing here? So... Yeah. Yeah, where are you at with Tannehill? This is a benefit of the doubt game, I'm saying, because they're just the Titans, because, and I don't think they're going to do anything, but...
No, yeah. Tannehill's done. The ride's over, unfortunately. He's been done for a while. He was really bad last year. I don't see how you can't get the same production out of Will Levis or Malik Willis at this point.
That's it. Just give me some different look. Like, give me a different look.
And they can actually move in the pocket, where Tannehill's mobility is so limited at this point, and the offensive line's not very good. He forced a lot of balls, like you're saying, to Hopkins. He targeted Hopkins 15 times. It was very obvious what he was doing.
Yeah.
He's brutal. The Titans will win 7-9 games. Vrabel's a great coach. Defense is a really good, very tough team.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill's horrible.
Yeah, down 4, field goal with 2 minutes left still, though. It's
that was the worst coaching. Which great teams do. Good teams win, great teams cover.
Good teams win, great teams cover. Yeah.
I want that on a shirt, Austin.
You can get that. benefit of the doubt, Giants. And this is how we'll get into the Cowboys to close the show. Kind of ran out of a little time. I got to a decent amount of teams here. Mm-hmm. Rapid fire this. This is the take about the Giants and Cowboys is just simply the Giants get the benefit of the doubt because that they looked decent at the very beginning of the game, and then the field goal block happens, and then it was just one of those, holy crap, the game is just over and completely out of control, and there's weird weather, and the Cowboys, I will say this. This is what I really truly believe in with the Cowboys. That D-line, Micah Parsons, and their ability to get to the quarterback, that's a nightmare for the Giants because – That's just not going away. That's not really a thing. But what we know about the Cowboys is that the question that needs to be answered this year is about Dak Prescott. And so you didn't really have to see anything with that. And where Daniel Jones' team was at, where they can't pass protect, they can't get anything going, it's a sloppy game where you can kind of see them fold it and give in by halftime, I just can't give too much into it. I will say this, though. Benefit of the doubt is not like Giants in my eyes were a contender. It's just like, I thought Giants were going to be around the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
You couldn't read much from that game. So I'm not going to freak out about it. I'm not going over the top in terms of the takes from it. I think that Cowboys defense is gorgeous. I think that pass rush is legit. I already thought that, though. I think that they've got two really good corners. Nice run early on by CeeDee.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tony Pollard is a stud, but there's just not much else that I'm overly invested in or that I can take too much from the Cowboys. Because, again, their biggest question is offense. We didn't need to see any of it.
Yeah.
Quickly, rapid fire. Maybe, just maybe. Bijan Robinson, that's the real deal. Oh, God, he looked good.
Unbelievable.
He was unreal.
And him
and Terry Algier, this is the hot take to close the show. That might be one of the best running back tandems in NFL history immediately, like right out of the gate. They are amazing. But they're not going anywhere with that quarterback. They got to get rid of that guy immediately. Yeah. They got to go Wildcat. Like, this is the take. Ritter is the worst quarterback I think I've ever seen play NFL games. Like, I don't think that I could do much worse than Desmond Ritter. He is horrific.
Yeah.
No targets to Drake London. He was negative yards all game long.
Yeah.
Anyway, Falcons get a quarterback, they could be scary, but that guy is not it. Anyway, I'll do some more stuff tomorrow. I'll hit on some of the more of those games, but those are your overreactions from week 1. Actually, I'll add a couple more on the podcast. Let's take a break. Let's come back, and I'll add a few more. Okay, podcast portion. Sometimes I forget that I can do this, and then I was like rushing things in. But yeah, the Falcons thing, the Desmond Ritter thing, I'm sorry, but he is. Just like right away, this is not an overreaction. That guy's not an NFL quarterback, like, period. It's just not going to happen for him. And if you're a Falcons fan, you think wrong, I'm sorry. But, like, is Mariota still the backup there? Who is?
That's a good question.
Whoever is the backup, get ready.
get ready. Get ready to take a couple snaps. Yeah,
like, get your helmet I don't know. Cleaned up.
Well, do you remember last year when they were waiting on this? Like, they didn't play
Desmond Ritter,
and people were
you got to put him in.
Start him to next
you
week.
Have to put him in.
Starter.
You have to put in Taylor Heinicke immediately. Desmond Ritter, holy crap. That was just a nightmare of a sweat for
only
me.
Only 3 targets to Kyle Pitts.
No, man. It's just, well, Kyle Pitts. I don't know. It's funny because when Kyle Pitts makes a catch, the announcing team also freaks out. And they're like, Kyle Pitts, this is unfair.
Should have more than three targets at least.
Just unplug the microphone. All right. Did you hear me? We can hear me.
I thought our mic just broke for a second. I was like,
it just fell
on?
Off. I was like, oh, that was stupid. There's a button, and I guess I touched it.
Kyle Pitts pissed you off so much.
You know,
he just ripped the mic out.
The major podcast producer here, Amal Delich, who is like the head of production for like 32 Thoughts, all the pods that matter, so not mine. He's always like, when he sees the video, stop touching the mic. But it's just a thing that I do to feel more comfortable, and then now it's it has now come. So sorry, Amal. You were right. It took 1,000 hours of episodes, but you got one.
It's
so
a staple in our
videos,
though.
You know what you're doing.
It's a staple.
Just the Falcons, they're not doing anything with that quarterback situation, but I will say all of a sudden Taylor Heinicke, immediately I'm like, Saints could be in trouble, actually. They get Taylor Heinicke in there, he learns the playbook, he's all right.
Not worried.
Saints just, you guys, I mean, can go back to this a little bit because you're both Saints fans, and I don't think our audience really cares too much because you're the only Saints fans in Ontario, really.
We are.
you're
decent.
Way to have Derek Carr. Like, you get it? Like, as someone who's been a Derek Carr observer for many years,
it was the Derek Carr
You just
experience.
Get to the red zone, he's great between the 20s, and then as soon as you get in close, it's just, he's not going to make a play.
My take on the Saints is that, like, the defense is really good. As long as, like, they stay healthy, they don't have much depth. But the defense is really good. And, you know, Carr is better than Andy Dalton. So that's worth, you know, something.
He's better than Winston was at the beginning of last year.
Yeah. Like. And then, like, hopefully when Kamara gets back from his suspension, they can figure some stuff out. Because, like, Jamal Williams had, like, 20-whatever carries and all the targets. And
22 carries for, like, 73 yards.
Yeah, it was not. And so, like, I don't know. They got Olave more involved late. It's just, you nailed it earlier. They're the best team in a bad division with a cupcake schedule. So they'll win, you know. Nine or ten games.
That was it, though. It's just that's why I felt I put those guys in the benefit of the doubt category, was because I was just like, you. There's nothing. I should have even made a different one where it's like same.
Didn't learn anything.
It's just like Titans and Saints was such a perfect week one matchup of, hey, here's the two teams that are too good to be bad and too bad to be contenders.
That's right.
Like they're both right in there. Yeah. Like neither
Couple
of those
playmakers.
Teams. Neither of those teams is going to tank and lose and end up in the Caleb Williams conversation. There's like no path for that for either team. Like, I really do think that the Titans could put Malik Willis in there or
Will Levis,
whoever they think is the worst of the two, and they'll still reel off five wins. They're still going to win six games. They're not terrible. Anyway.
Well, they have to play the Texans and the Colts twice.
The thing I didn't get to is that I doubt a category, maybe just maybe, and that was the Falcons offense, if they could get a quarterback. And then the other thing in there is Cleveland's defense. Maybe just maybe that's special.
I think they're good.
Their edges are quite good.
I kind of screwed them over on the radio portion of the show, so I could see their fans being pissed off. Like, you just threw us away. You just said, like, oh, Joe Burrow, and we're weird against them. You just threw us away. Browns fans, if you've listened to this show and you've listened to me throughout my career, no one has ever had a better pulse of your team than me. No one. I don't care if you listen to Cleveland podcasts, national radio in the States. It's me. I'm the guy who knows your team better than you do. You're too emotional about it. I've always been there watching the Browns, secretly having a little affinity for them, and going, you're getting too big for your britches? I'm on top of you guys.
Knock them down a little bit.
Browns watch is on.
Ah, let's go.
Browns watch.
Browns
dog
division
pound.
Watch?
Yeah, Browns watch is officially on because Watson looked uncomfortable early on in the game, and I went, this looks like the same Deshaun Watson.
Skipped
but then
a couple
he
balls
and
in.
Then he kind of
that one pick.
And the weather was bad, but there was some more Deshaun Watson flashes in that game.
I agree.
Yeah,
you got to get in. Why did they not just bring back Kareem Hunt? Because they would give it to, like, give Nick Chubb the football more. I know they're trying to make, what was the guy's name? Ford?
Jerome Ford.
Nah, you don't need that. That's you're good on that, Browns fans. He's unnecessary. But the offensive line looked good.
Yep.
The defensive line looked amazing.
Miles Garrett to Darius Smith. Unbelievable.
Miles Garrett, again, properly rated player, but nice reminder of, oh, right. In the worlds of Aaron Donalds and Micah Parsons,
he's one of those
just I'm one of the best players in the entire NFL
Did
at any single position.
Clip
I'm
today?
In the TJ Watt.
Yeah. He has a pass rush where before the snap, he's like fake dribbling the ball through his legs and then just like absolutely dusts the guard.
No, he is a athlete.
Oh my God.
Athlete. Anyway, I actually kind of like, I saw enough from the Elijah Moore stuff where I went, I can see this. I can see this path. You got the best running back in the game. Your offensive line looks good. If this quarterback, if you can just put some of these games together and you sort of have, you own the Bengals. They're kind of in your back pocket mentally.
Burrow's 0-4 in Cleveland.
All I'm saying is Browns watch is hot right now because you could basically bury the Steelers season.
Ravens are really banged up. You can bury the Steelers.
No, Browns
they
watch.
They own the Bengals.
Browns watch is hot. Browns watch is hot. Our Monday morning insider starting next week, Brady Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what we're going to be talking about Monday about his Browns if they beat the Steelers in week two.
Can we sometime ask one of my best buddies from back home is a huge Browns fan and he loved Brady Quinn, you know, handsome man coming from Notre Dame, but also because he did bench press at the combine and like beat several like offensive and defensive linemen.
He was jacked. He was on the cover of Men's Health.
Can we ask him about that specifically?
About what?
Just about being jacked and why as a quarterback you decided to do the bench press reps? What quarterback does bench press?
I never really thought about it because I don't really remember it, but yeah, we can ask him if he did bench press.
Sick.
I do like the idea of, I can't wait to be like, Simon needs to know why you did bench press. I like how your initial question though was like, what's it like to be really jacked?
I would love to know that too, honestly. Someday.
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet. People want to touch your muscles and girls pay attention to you. Anyway, they held Higgins to no catches.
Yeah.
That matters to me. I like the Browns defense. I'm just saying Browns watch is on. I respect the Browns. I've had to humble you in years past. I'm gonna end up at one of those Browns, that Browns bar in the Junction at one point this year. I'm gonna go in and watch my Browns.
My Browns, like, he says.
Hey,
Seahawks are just so dead now.
Oh yeah, Seahawks are done. I'm telling you, Seahawks are done. Both their tackles got hurt. Geno's a fraud. DK's a bit of a fraud. Tyler Lockett got hurt.
Wanted to see more from Zach Charbonnet. I drafted him.
Yeah,
fantasy.
Well, again.
He gave you a warning.
Sorry,
I was like,
he gave you a warning.
Hey, guess what? You're gone now too. You and Kalem both gone.
we've been
Kalem
banned.
Just like firing his microphone up without any, like, no one knows who you are. Like, no one knows who you are. And you're like, I'll just turn my microphone on and start talking. I'll be a voice from the sky. I will be that guy. Insane. Insane behavior from you. And Joe, even just as bad, my two youths.
Traumatic
like,
day.
I will give you my second fantasy football reference. I drafted Zach Charbonnet. Like, no one
cares. Trying to get
bad day
pain.
For the youths.
No one cares. Bad day for the youths. Last thing. I put this as, I don't know where to put it. Jags
category.
And Colts.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Jags had moments where I was like, oh, my God, Calvin Ridley might be the best receiver in the NFL.
The first quarter, you were like, holy, this is it.
Lawrence is cooking.
There was a moment with Anthony Richardson where he was running the ball and he was making the Jaguars defense look silly and he was hooking up with Michael Pittman for big plays. And I went, oh my God, what if they got Jonathan Taylor back with this guy? Is he already ready in the NFL? And then there were moments the opposite with both guys where Trevor Lawrence kind of looked mediocre. Their offense sort of seemed to go away at times. Richardson leaves the game hurt at the end of it.
He was taking shots through that game.
He was taking shots and their running backs gave them nothing in that game.
Zero.
Turns out Deion Jackson is not Jonathan Taylor.
Shocker.
Solid game for Jonathan Taylor's agent. His contract, he went nice. Except for the problem is that it's not going to change, and this is so stupid that he's doing this.
But I did like, too, the reports. Like, I was watching the ESPN pregame, and Shefty was on. He was like, I'm hearing that Jonathan Taylor could pass a physical today.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks.
It's like, cool. Cool report.
I think we can figure that
I'm
one
hearing
out.
It as I'm standing here watching him work out. Do the combine workout.
I liked that.
But yeah, there was just moments from both teams where I really liked what I was seeing. And then there was a lot of, this is why I don't think either of you guys could win. I would say it's a little bit more optimistic for the Colts because they looked a bit ahead of where I expected them to be. Mm. There's a huge mistake in the game where Tank Bigsby, the rookie running back, grabs a fumble and DeForest Buckner
just takes it from him.
It's like, punches him. He's like, ow! He drops the ball.
Like, take a candy from
they
a baby,
go just into, it was legitimately that. DeForest Buckner is, out of all the scariest guys in the NFL that you could possibly see, like if he was walking up to you and said, give me the thing you have in your hand, top five. He is a terrifying human that he's that size and he moves that way.
Yeah.
And his name is DeForest Buckner.
Yeah, sweet name.
Yeah, it's a sweet
name.
Another
good handle is Tank Bigsby.
It is.
He had the two mistakes because he also had that one pick that went off his hands.
Yeah.
So rough.
That's true.
Rough one for Tank.
That was not great. We had, what was the guy's name? Tank Johnson before, the defensive tackle. Mm. Yeah. But, yeah, so Tank is a good one.
Tank
is a good
one.
It's a good handle.
Cool.
Especially when you make the NFL. Yeah. Like, what's your name? Tank.
It's like, oh, you play in the NFL.
My parents knew, huh?
I can see that now.
I figured that out right away. Anyway, Trevor Lawrence has always left me just a little cold.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And to start the season against, there's always this, and he's one of those guys, and he's in the Burrow, and he could be the next guy in that tier, and they already put him as like a top five quarterback, and even with Herbert, I've seen it. Like, Herbert, I've seen it really, where I go, oh, yeah.
This,
you can put this thing together, and some of it's been the coaching, the ideas, the having Eckler, so many pieces, the injured wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I just want to see a little more consistency from Trevor Lawrence, because he has his little tiny flashes, but it's never a full game, and just has come out this way where there's some optimism for them for the division, and they almost choke one against the lowly Colts. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. I was just like, I don't know where to put it. I don't want to put this like at all.
Right.
So, that's it. I think.
Quick question for you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So we're doing overreactions.
Yep.
What through week one, like what preseason take are you most worried that you were off on?
I remember I said that I was trying to zag against the AFC East where I went, the AFC East might not be that good and we might have overhyped it because it's a lot of markets that tend to get overhyped and
it felt like
the perfect stew of, hey, we might be thinking Aaron Rodgers is too great behind this Jets team and maybe the Bills take a step back and that the Dolphins aren't that special. And I mentioned their cornerbacks. And so like right away I saw the Patriots play. And they hung around.
Yeah.
And you were just reminded that Belichick has some real players on defense there. Like that game started. It's really the only game I didn't hit on from a Patriots standpoint. That game started just a nightmare. Patriots were down 16-0
in 16 minutes.
And you went, what the hell happened? It was like, bad turnover. Like they just, things broke poorly for them. But the rest of the game, they outplayed a team that was in the Super Bowl last year.
And you know what? It's a perfect, you know how you were saying.
And like I drafted Kendrick Bourne in a fantasy league because I'm a smart human being, unlike Joe, who builds an idiot team and still talks about it. Anyways.
You know how you were saying earlier, the Steelers, like, you know, they get down early and you'd like to see some sort of something, some sort of pushback. Like, that's what you saw with the Pats, at least. They were down 16-0. It was like was through a couple
toughness.
Bad breaks and they just... Mm-hmm. They stuck with it. They were there. They kept going. And obviously that's a coaching thing. You would have expected a Tomlin team to have some sort of pushback, and they just folded.
They didn't have it. Yeah. Some teams, they just got hit, and they just went away. The thing with the Patriots, though, is they came into the year with Kendrick Bourne and Juju Smith-Schuster, and they let Jacoby Myers go, who catches the two touchdown passes.
Yeah.
And you go, all right, the guy who blew the play at the end of the game, Mac Jones threw a perfect pass, they should have been
that
able to have a chance to win.
Booty, right? From LSU.
I was like, I don't know who you are, and you can't get the toe down.
He had two of those in the game.
Yeah,
two
I didn't see the other one.
It was also bad.
That.
It was like it would have been a chain mover, and he just got one foot down instead of the other.
Yeah, just all I could think with watching that was, shouldn't you have a better guy than this on the field at this point of the year?
Yeah, he had four targets and didn't have a reception.
Yeah, tough one.
Mm-hmm.
That defense is good, though.
Yeah.
The Pats.
Who's your team again, Armin? He doesn't have one.
Armin's a neutral.
You're a neutral.
Neutral.
Armin, you have to pick one.
Like, all right, I'm a Panthers fan.
Oh, my God.
And then you abandoned it? You were like, oh, we had a bad game.
As soon as Cam Newton
we had one bad game. I don't care anymore. Oh, I'm actually not a big Panthers fan. I'll say one quick Panthers thing, too, since I'm checking off like all the different thoughts. I'm all over the place. I actually liked Bryce Young. I thought that game, like, stats reflective, like, he threw some bad picks. Mm-hmm. The Bengals guy, what's his name? Jesse Bateman? Bates, yeah.
Jesse Bates.
Anyway, he made a bunch of brilliant plays in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But Bryce Young, you could see it. Like, you could see it. Even after one of his picks, like, the way he's composing himself on the sidelines, he's so tiny.
He's a small
tiny
guy.
Tiny little guy. He's just out there. He's like his teammates. And the worst part is I'm pretty sure he's my size. Like, and he just looks so small. He's maybe an inch shorter than me. And I was like, ugh.
Hey, you're still taller.
Yeah.
Still taller.
And fatter. So I got some weight on
you
him,
see
too.
Hayden Hurst just throw his first touchdown pass
but they got the ball
crowd.
Back.
Yeah, it's just, that video is hilarious. Just turns around and whips it.
I could see that actually turning around fairly quickly. The running backs looked pretty decent in that game. I like Hayden Hurst. Thielen was hurt, but might be washed. He just didn't really have any pass catchers. And
yeah, I don't think there's a lot of playmakers
yeah, around just, there. But I could see it turning around quicker. I don't think that they're going to be as cellar dweller as I thought that they might be, just because of him. Anyway.
Any Stroud thoughts? Did you watch much of that game?
I watched almost none of that game because I watched the beginning and it was a rock fight. And I was like, I'm not spending time watching the Houston Texans. Yeah. I'll catch them a different week. And then Baltimore... They won in a way that I expected them to. You have to limit a couple of games every week where you're just going to throw out if you're really going to make meaningful takeaways from some.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Right? And so for me, I had to cut. Like I said, I went the irrelevant, AKA I didn't watch enough, was Raiders, Broncos, Baltimore, Houston, Vikings, Bucks, and Washington Cards. Mm-hmm. And then in a way, I didn't really watch a lot of Cowboys, Giants because it was over at half.
Yeah.
Where true. I just went, I don't need to. I actually left it on. I did the move where I went to bed and I put it on my laptop.
Yeah.
True.
And I just let it run.
Just in case.
And I was like, just if something crazy happens here. And then I was like, nothing. Anyway, I spent time at a cottage this weekend. It felt like the end of summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good getting out with friends. Still got a beautiful weekend. I'm sore from doing so many physical activities and being like, whoops.
Did you wakeboard?
No, I wake surfed. I'd never done that before, actually.
Mm.
But... I'd never, like, it's where your feet aren't attached.
Yeah.
And I'd never done it. I mean, well, I volunteered to go first.
Oh,
my
wow.
friend was like, who wants to do this? I was like, me. And I've done every board sport. Like, I used to snowboard, skateboard, and I have wakeboarded. So I just assumed it was going to be super simple right away. And I was, like, having trouble figuring out where, like, how you ended up getting up. I kind of was treating it like a wakeboard where you have to be a little bit more patient. It, like, pulls you out of the water. Mm-hmm. But you have to pop up more on this board.
Right.
And so I went first, and I fell, like, five times or six times in a row. And then I was like, I need a break from this because I was, like, torquing out my forearms.
Yeah.
And then my buddy, who's done it before, gets on it and does it. And I went, why did I go first? I should have just watched someone. So... I went out again and I got up immediately and then I started to do it and I started thinking out. The only thing I was regretful of again is this is all about tips. The guy who'd done it before and the owner of the boat, he's doing it where he's dropping the, like you can drop the rope, which is the cool thing to do and then just surf. And that's what I wanted to do watching it. I was like, yes. Cause again, if you have a lot of board mechanics, you know how to do this thing. If you wakeboard for it, it's not that difficult once you're up there. But I didn't realize, like, you had to throw the rope when you had, like, a ton of slack and you're, like, extremely close to the boat and with a ton of weight. So I kept throwing the rope, like, way too early.
Ah, true.
So I was like, and I only tried it a couple times because we had, like, eight guys on the boat. And so you want to cycle it through and give everybody a shot and make sure everyone's going. Because when you're in there, it's so funny. Like, this, I think this is a Canadian thing. When you're just having fun, especially this, like a water sport, I don't know if you guys ever feel this, if you're, like, wakeboarding or water skiing, whatever. I just feel guilty when I'm in there having so much fun and the other people are on the boat. I'm like, does anyone else want to go? And everyone that was in there is like, I'm sorry that I'm having fun in here trying. None of the other guys, the only people that got up were the two guys who had done it before and me. Everyone else just kept bailing and falling and then eventually.
Hey, there you go. You got up, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
There you go. Come on. Yeah, come on.
Buddy, I'm an athlete and a board sport magician. So I'll post a video on my Instagram of me doing it looking so cool. It was so funny because I was like, I bet you these look badass. And then they just look like.
Yeah, they always like look way less cool.
Your face
cool
is always
than
like. Yeah. You're like contorted and everything.
No, there's one that they took of me asking like how to drop the rope. I'm like, well, how do you drop it? And then as I'm because you're supposed to do it where there's no slack and then you can throw the rope back into the boat or up to someone. But also the lack of slack is like the most slack you can have on the rope so that you get right into the wake and then you start to surf it. And the first video is just of me being like getting way overly confident and having no slack and having no idea how you actually surf the wake and then like chucking. And the guys in the video are like, that rope is going to be really dangerous for him if he does, if he tries to just chuck that right now. Like my buddy's like, that's a weapon. I'm watching the video like, why didn't you yell that to me, Paul? You just
that's
let
a
me.
Weapon.
Yeah, no one gave me that tip on it right out of the gate. So anyway, but it does bring up the question. And Simon's been sitting on this one. Now summer's over. It's just done. We're out of it.
Yeah, summer's dead.
Ranking the best summer cottage games. I will say this one doesn't count because no one has a pickleball or a tennis court, which this guy had at his house. Mm-hmm. This place was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Basketball, like two nets. Like, people are going to ever play full court.
You want to run a full?
Yeah, run a full is no.
Full court press at the cottage?
Harsh rims, though, too. Like, brand new rims and fully inflated balls. It was murdering my confidence.
Like, double rims or just tingle? Just
yeah, just harsh. Like, every ball that gets, like, remote rim. And we're shooting with, like, crappy, overly inflated basketballs.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's just like, bang, out of there. I was like, you know, like,
bang.
We were playing bump. I think I hit 1-3 the entire time. It was all, like, just clang it off the side, go for the layup, just cheater style, you know? So
at a certain point, you just got to go for that.
But we played pickleball, and I'd never played it before.
Oh, really?
The hype is real.
Yeah.
The hype is real. Dude, I am really horny for pickleball. Like, so, I'm in.
I haven't played yet. I know that I would love it. I know that I would love it. And can I, this is why I think I would love it. Can I ask if this is true? It seems like it's the perfect amount of athletic exertion.
Yes.
It's some.
Correct.
It's not a ton.
Correct.
But you also still get to, like, slice forehands down the line and
it's
stuff.
It's the perfect mix of, like, this is easy to pick up.
Yeah.
So you can get started right away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To, oh, you can see how, like, someone would be really good at this and how much, like, skill you could end up actually having in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that it's not just so simple that everyone's good.
Right.
And then... What, you play, Armin?
No, Jay, I was just going to say, don't you want to, like, as a young athlete, don't you think tennis is funner to play?
I'm not a young athlete. I'm in my mid-30s. I'm done, son. Like, this is over for me. I'm ready. I'm retirement
We are in the pickleball age.
And I would, and I actually would learn tennis, but tennis is bougie and restrictive. Like, you got to get an instructor. Like, you don't need an instructor for this. You don't need an instructor for tennis. You don't have to show up at a club. Be like, ooh.
You can just go to
I got my bag.
You can just go to a court.
I'm just ripping
like,
on tennis. But like, yeah. But no, I just, kind of, but not really.
True.
Like I would, Armin, would I rather fashion myself a tennis player?
Right.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
But am I realistic in thinking I will go out and try to play the sport that I can be better at to start and then improve as I go on and then also not feel like I have to be a high-level athlete anymore to do this.
Right.
It was fun, man. Have none of you guys played it?
I play pickleball, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, it's just, I like stuff like that now where it's accessible to the beginning where you go, oh, I could see this. It's not going to take a million years. Like, we'll get into the rankings here, but it's why I have one of my favorite ones, maybe my favorite one of all time, just way lower now. Because the price of entry, for one.
Oh.
What would that be?
That's the point, Joe. Oh,
okay. Interesting.
Nice.
So I'm setting up.
It's called tease.
Setting it up.
Anyway, let's start this. I think, by far, the number one cottage game is... I'm saying pickleball doesn't count, by the way. I'm just saying that that is just like a really nice addition if you're rich.
Oh, okay.
The number one thing is 100% bocce.
Bocce.
Yes.
No question.
Agree with that.
No question. Bocce, by far, the best.
So sick.
It's the best. If you play extreme bocce, it's just the one where it's like, it's the lowest floor. You can play it in any way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just immediately, like, you're setting the rules every single time. Everyone's playing the exact same thing.
Yep.
There's never like, oh, this time we're putting the bags further away, or sorry, the cornhole boxes further away. Ooh, is this one long? Is this too short?
Yeah.
Are you doing this? Like, it's the best. It's the best. Throwing the, what's it called? The Paloma? No, that's a drink.
Paloma.
What's the little ball?
Oh, the white ball?
Yeah, the white ball is called Palomito.
I'm going to look it up because I forget and I'm going to mispronounce
something close
it.
Like that, anyways. Just no one has that back there, the bocce ball?
I'm going to mispronounce it. You
got no Italian.
Palina.
Bro. Palina. That's it.
Palina Paloma or is a Polino, drink. It says.
It was alcoholic.
You went right to like that.
Throwing the Palina.
That's what it was, yeah.
Making a great bocce shot. Having the ability to like eliminate someone else, make a great shot, the partnership of the sport. It's by far the best one. I don't even think anything comes close. People can debate it, but no, it's clearly number one. So what would you guys say is number one to you? Like, just what would you even put in that? What would you even try to put up against bocce? Would you put anything? You are
list.
A cottage guy. Because I was going to say, this is a cottage owner. And actually, Caleb, you can weigh into as a cottage owner because you got a ton of time at them. What would you guys put as your top ones?
So bocce was on my list of tops.
Yeah, but what's number one?
My number one was Can Jam.
Yeah, okay. That's my number two.
Yeah.
Caleb?
Say spike ball.
I also, love spike ball.
So do I. But okay, so this is now
we've hit. Caleb's and I's answers are going to be like young.
No.
People.
But this is now we've hit the asterisks of it all. I love spike ball too. when you get a great game of spike ball going, I would argue that it is the best one.
Yeah. Mm. Both teams are dialed. We're running over the net. Yeah. We're setting up shots.
You're like diving but here's over the thing. And hitting it back.
Spike ball is so much better on the beach than it is on grass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That it automatically, like, that's what I'm saying about bocce, is that you don't need anything. Same. Can jam is also much better on the beach than on grass, just for the diving, because that's the most fun part, is when you come up covered in sand. It's like, you made a great shot. Hot. This is a hot
like
hitter.
Celebrating.
This is a hot hitter. But spike ball, you get a good game going with good players and a bunch of people that are waiting to play, and you get like a good tournament going. That is hot, hot, hot. But as you're starting to get a little bit older, and if you're with people who haven't really played it before, it just sucks. Like, I can take someone who has never played bocce before, or never played cornhole before, or washer toss, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get into it right away. And with spike ball, it's like, it's harder to do, harder to get rallies, rules a little bit more complex. Like, if you have a group of players that are all used to playing spike ball, it's the best to me anyways. If you've got a beach, if you've got people that are like somewhat athletic, somewhat willing still to dive around, it is the best one.
You need to be willing to dive.
But that's it. And the price, so the price of entry is just too high for it to be the top cottage game.
High ceiling, low floor is what you're saying.
Highest ceiling,
low
floor.
Yeah.
Extremely low floor. When you're starting to try to set it up and you're playing with people for the first time and they're just like, they're hitting all their serves off the side of the net, you know, it's just like you're not able to get rallies that are more than like two or three. It's not that fun. And then you can always tell by people being like, oh, okay, like I'm good with that. Like, you're not going to keep trying. I've never had that with bocce. I've never had that with can jam. I've never even had that with like cornhole. It's just more boring. Cornhole is like, all right, it's fine. It's like, that's okay.
Yeah.
And cornhole is the one I'm best at. I feel like I could be a professional cornhole. Yeah. I'm money at it. My only thing is I'm too good at it. So I'm always aiming for threes. And sometimes you strategically need to just take the ones. Too good at cornhole. Washers, I feel like, are just too random.
Yeah.
That's why it's lower for me. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's a pass the time, but I'm usually waiting for the other ones. And then I think there's a satisfaction to ladder golf that is nice when you really ring one and you're like, whoo, it's like, kind of feel like a cowboy almost, or some kind of like hunter, but it sucks.
Yeah. It's not a good one. Not on my list.
It sucks. So those are the top three to me. Is number one, bocce. Number two, can jam. No question. Can jam, arguments with your partner and arguments with the other team about whether or not it actually hit the side of the can.
Yeah.
Those are the best cottage arguments you can get into. And then number three, I'll have spike ball, but with the asterisk of being like, if you just wanted to put cornhole there because you were like, people just wanted to play, I would hear it. But that's
so you named my Mount Rushmore. Those are the four for me that were on my list.
Those are the four. Yeah, I think that's pretty unquestioned.
I invested in...
it's a party game, but I also consider it a cottage game, is beer pong or baseball.
Yeah, beer pong for sure.
Man, I was playing a lot of that.
Beer pong is hot whenever my friends and I go to the cottage, because we have like a long-running tournament. So we have like stakes in every single game. Yeah. There's like rivalries. So there's like extra emotion when we're playing. There's like actual intensity.
Do you ever play baseball?
Baseball's elite.
Yeah, baseball.
I have. It's really fun, but I don't play it
consistently.
Stealing
bases.
I was going to say, I have baseball higher than beer pong and way more of a cottage game, because beer pong, you just see it everywhere.
Yeah
it's like
true.
You show
it's
up anywhere
common.
And it's there.
You're actually right. Like, I never play baseball anywhere
but a cottage.
You're right.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to bump baseball up because baseball is so good that I'm throwing it definitely over cornhole. Yeah.
I had it in my head that it was like lawn games that we were doing. I would also put baseball
is definitely a cottage game too, because the best way to play it is, again, with beach.
Because
whoever's the catcher needs to be able to make dives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so fun, is being the catcher and being like, I'm the star of our team.
If I play baseball more consistently, it would definitely be better.
I will take care of getting these outs. Coming up with a big out, stealing bases.
Yeah. Stealing bases is elite.
Yeah, that's the best. It's so great. And it's just everybody's engaged. It's a great cottage
catching
game.
Catching someone napping and just...
Yeah. I just view it as like drinking cottage games. Things that you would do if you did like a Games Olympics at a cottage.
Right.
And baseball would definitely be there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so would beer pong.
Yeah. Have you ever played, I think it's Mulky?
Mulky's fun. You have it's like bowling almost. You have like the wooden stick set up, and then you throw
another wooden stick,
and then you try to knock them over and get
that.
Points.
I was gonna say, I've played the one where it's like you put the drinks on top of the frisbee, or the cups. What's it
that
called?
One's good too. I think it's called cups.
Yeah, it's all right.
That one's pretty good.
Yeah, it's all right.
That was a good like.
It's just the better frisbee game is can jam. It's like
100%.
Yeah, so it's just
a lot of
higher quality version.
Diving is involved in a lot of these games. Yeah, but cups, like diving for it and making a cup.
Yeah,
that's the fun part.
No, it's all about the dives. It's all about the dives.
It really is all about the dives.
And truly, once the diving dies, so will the cottage. That's when you just go into washers, and that's when you go into cornhole. You're like, those are the only ones I do now.
Beer on the deck.
Yeah, that's it. It's just done. Then you've retired from the good games. But guess what? You know why bocce's number one? Because it's the best game. It involves the most amount of like skill, touch, random flukiness, different terrain. Like that's the beauty of bocce. Is like sometimes where you throw it. We've done it where it's like you throw the Palomina in the
Palomina. You're just on
it's like you throw it in the water. You do like an underwater random.
You can play it anywhere. It's
throw
beautiful.
It up on a hill. You throw it up on some grass. You throw it up on some sand.
On the beach, in
like
a forest.
Yeah,
you
just
can
like
do
all
whatever.
The different terrains of it. It's so diverse, and like anyone will play.
Yeah.
If you get the dad at the cottage, and it's like, hey, you want to jump in on some bocce? He's like, yeah, and I know how to throw this ball. The dad's not going to jump in and play spike ball with you.
Yeah.
So that's why it's lower. Calum, you're too gangly and tall for spike ball. You guaranteed suck. I've never seen anybody your size.
I bet he can serve it, though.
Yeah, he can probably serve it. Too gangly and big. Admit
I'm nice
it.
With spike ball, and I think the length honestly helps me.
I agree.
You think the length helps you?
Does. Yeah, it fully does. I can spread around. I don't need to be running
all
that
dive, much. The diving, turns, yeah, the diving game is strong, right? You can dive. You're diving out there.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's 23 or 22?
22. But I'm saying the length on the dive.
He's the new youngest on the show.
He's saving shots that we thought were impossible.
Do you know what would be brutal? Is like we could play these two guys in spike ball and probably hang. And then by the end of it, though, they'd be like, yeah, yeah, we're feeling great. And you and I would be like, yeah, no, we're feeling so good. Like, we're also feeling just the exact same as you, two bros. Let's just go take a quick break, have a drink. That's, by the way, that's the other thing that it gets clipped on is that it's not a drink in hand game.
Good one.
That's a good point.
And it's just like, you're not drinking while you're playing spike ball. And for a cottage game, I usually just think about them as drink in hand. So it's like, to me, it's almost bordering on just more of like a beach game.
Or
than
like
it
a
is.
Park
it's,
game.
Yeah. It's moving closer to like sport than it is. Like
I don't like it on grass.
It's on
though.
A fine line.
I want to be able to like dive around in a meaningful way
I'm
without thinking
on
of,
grass,
it's
baby.
A, yeah, for I'm sure. But it's like now you're. But that's the thing. You're feeling that different. I'm out of the grass diving game. You want to play spike ball on the grass? I'm like, nah.
But it's really soft grass.
Really soft grass. There's still ground underneath.
Yeah, like, no, still dirt down there.
Anyways, that is the official ranking. And yeah, I do think that if I wake surfed two more times, I think I could be semi-pro. I picked it up pretty quick, I was just saying.
I want to see these pictures, these videos.
Yeah, I'll post a video on Instagram. That will look completely lame, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, you just look like you're wakeboarding slowly behind a boat. It's just like, no, my feet aren't attached, okay? It's cool. It is way cooler feeling not having your feet attached and being able to get up on it.
True.
And I definitely, like I said, I'm so jealous of these people that have this stuff. It's like, God, I wanted to actually do the pure surfing of dropping the rope and just feeling that of like the no pull of it and just surfing on that wake.
Yeah.
I regret not doing that. Because again, I got too guilty and I got out. I was like, I'm having too much fun. Who wants to go?
Yeah.
And then I get out and the most experienced guy who goes and actually does the surfing part, he's like, I go and watch him and he pulls up all the way to the boat. He has so much slack that he can basically just like drop it on the end. And the first time I tried it, I'm like fully extended at the back of the boat, like a like wakeboard. And people are like, yeah, that's too far back. I do it for three tries where, you know, where I'm getting up and doing it. And then the guilt takes over of just, you guys got to take over for this. I feel too bad. People pulling me around on a boat. It just feels like too nice.
It really does sound like the boys weren't coaching you up as they should have been. Sounds like you were going in a little more blind than you should have been.
No. I went in blind on the first try in terms of trying to get up and then no one could get up. And then I went back in after seeing someone do it who actually could. And then I was like, okay, I could get up. So much of it was just focused on like getting up.
Right.
That there wasn't enough focus for someone like me, who's more of an advanced, who once he did get up was going to be like, yeah, no, I'm going to stay up and I'm just going to try stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like my last time I was like, I want to surf and I even want to try to spin a 360 in this way. Yeah. But then I couldn't get the drop down early enough. And then I just didn't take enough attempts. If I would have done that like 12, 13 times, I would have 100% done something cool. There's no doubt. No doubt.
A cooler video for Instagram.
Yes, way cooler than it was. Than it just looks like me wake surfing and, you know, being behind a boat, not doing anything sick.
Right.
Just coasting across the wave and trying to kind of feel up the board and where it was at. That's a good time though. That's a fun ass thing. Yeah. At first, I thought this sucks because my same point is like point of entry, right? So many of the guys never ended up getting up, and I went, yeah, this would have been better, just, you know, wakeboarding or, you know, water skiing, two skis, or even tubing, where I would have gone, hey, at least someone would have gotten something more out of this. But then once I got up, I was like, oh no, now I see why you guys do this. This is by far the most fun one that I've done.
Yeah.
The worst one is knee boarding. Remember that one?
Yeah.
It was like, why did anyone ever do those?
Never even tried it.
Why was that even a thing? Why did they allow us to purchase those? Why were yeah, that's those should be outlawed. I'm sorry. That's
good, fun doing
actually
that.
They shouldn't be outlawed. They're good for kids. Mm-hmm. Good for like little kids. But I think I kneeboarded at like 15.
Oh, I for sure did. Yeah.
It's like that's unacceptable. That's too old. That's like showing up with a baseball glove over 15 where you're like, no. Big series for the Jays.
I'm going tonight. Can't wait.
Attaboy. Get the good report from you.
I will.
I'm excited for this series. Mm-hmm. I'm back in. Tonight's a good sports night. Big Jays game and Bills Jets.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm intrigued.
Sports are back, baby.
Sports are back in the biggest way. I'm excited to see what we can take from the Bills Jets game.
Yeah. Well, I outlined it on Friday's show. We had a guest bail, and I had to just fill the entire show off the fly. This one feels like so. You reminded that this one has a ton of stakes mm-hmm. for the same reason that the Packers Bears one does. Mm. It's just a divisional game where one team has a ton of expectations and one team has sort of owned the division. It's like if the Bills go out there and they spank the Jets,
yeah,
then you're just looking at it and going, nothing has changed and the Jets might have been way too overhyped. Yeah. They go into the Steelers category.
Yeah.
And if the Jets are able to like maintain competitiveness with the Bills and hang around there even, you're going, ooh, what does this say about Buffalo? What does it say That's about right. New York?
Like the Jets can lose, but they got to show something.
And then if the Jets defense dominates Josh Allen and he doesn't look like he's got a ton of weapons and he's under duress.
Big time. What's
then
going
you're
on?
Going, well, the last two times we've seen the Bills has been against the Bengals where they got their asses kicked. And now they have their asses kicked. And there's more continuity with that group and the year's expectations. I think that you can. It's funny with week one stuff. I know, again, this is always the time where people end up calling you an idiot and people go, remember when you said this? It's like, yeah, of course. But I really do believe that week one ends up being the week you end up taking the least out of when you end up going down the stretch and like, oh, right, actually none of this mattered. But also with the good teams, it can end up being a really good idea of like the ones who perform really well. Like that Niners thing,
that's
not
real.
Changing throughout the season. Like, that's not going to adjust itself where a healthy Niners team, we're going to go, remember week one, we thought these guys were so good? Like, no. Mm-hmm. And the Bills should sort of be in that category where they've done this for a couple of years now. We've seen this, it's like same iteration of this team. Most of the same pieces are back. It's the same coaching staff. Like, you can glean in a weird way more from this than anybody else. Like, you can get way more from the Bills in this game than you can from the Jets. Mm-hmm. If the Bills suck in this game, you're a bit more nervous.
Yeah.
If the Bills are great and they look like the Niners where they just beat the crap out of a team, you're feeling very, very good about the Bills, even though they did slow down as the season went on, but they had the weird Hamlin thing. Like, it's a tough season for the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
This one to me is gonna matter for both teams. This is the game of the week, and they say
this
Monday night.
So many storylines around these two teams.
No, I can't wait for tonight's game. Anyway, do we have to get into anything else? Nah, we're all right. We're all right here.
Big football weekend.
Yeah, it was an awesome football weekend. And everybody's a little tired. Everybody's a little, hey, summer's over. Everybody have a good end of the summer. What'd you guys do this weekend? You were at a cottage too, right?
Yeah, I was at a cottage. I was at my friend's cottage with the boys.
Yeah, nice.
Like, nice little send-off.
Did you play spike ball?
We did not play spike ball, no.
So see, point of entry. You didn't play it. Can't be the top one. What'd you play?
It was a lot of cornhole this weekend. A lot of cornhole and beer pong because we have like the big tournament that we do.
Yeah.
So we were grinding that, you know, final send-off as well.
How'd you do in the tournament?
I won. Went all the way to the finals.
Look at this.
Drinking hand every time.
Yep.
Look at this. You're on here talking about your fantasy team, and you're burying the lead that you won the annual beer pong tourney. Joe.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, man.
But you play one-on-one, not teams?
It's all one-on-ones.
Ones.
It's all one-on-ones.
Interesting.
One-on-ones in beer pong?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, actually.
I disagree.
Nah, it's
one-on-one in beer pong is sad.
Because,
that actually makes me feel
everybody
like you have
gets
one
hot.
Friend.
You're everybody like, gets hot.
No.
There's nine of us. It was a nine-man tourney.
So seven people just got to watch, though. That's what I don't
know.
Like.
It's quick games because everyone gets hot and you have to hit your shots because everybody's shooting a lot of shots.
This is so Gen Z where you're like, and we're all isolated. We just do it all by ourselves. We just stay at home and we play video games. It's we did it virtually. It was virtual beer pong.
We do play duos as well, but when we actually
play. No, you got to do all college games about having a partner.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best part. Like, yeah.
A lot of them were. Just
the way you do those tournaments usually, though, is like you are an individual, but you always have a partner. It's just that, like, your partner system is scored where it's like you two get the same amount of points if you win this game, same amount of points if you win next game.
We did a cornhole thing as well. And
if you only do two, then it's like, it's a little bit more difficult to do. Yeah. Armin?
I was just going to say, first of all, Jobo, I will beat you in beer pong.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, try me.
Maybe we need a tourney going, though.
Try me.
I feel like the partner stuff is like, just half the fun.
Yeah, I know. Having your partner where you have to carry your partner. And like, I had the worst partner in cornhole. I was 100% the best player at cornhole, and I had the by far worst partner.
You were my.
Where it was like, I'm just hoping that it's he can get, like he can just cancel out. I was never hoping for points. I wasn't even hoping for cancels. I was really hoping that it would just be like minus one, yeah. minus two. When I'm like,
just like shave some of their points off the board.
I already know that we're not going to maintain any lead, and he's just like drunk and high, and he's just like throwing the bags way too hard every single time. And he's like, oh, I'm just like,
man, it's a fastball. It's hitting the board and
sliding. But you can't be
off.
The guy who's like,
underhand, right? You go underhand?
Yeah, I go underhand. He was kind of trying to do the like hybrid side toss, you know? Where no, but some people do either. Either you're like me in cornhole, where it's like you're doing the like I'm feeling the bag, and then I'm trying to like drop it in there, slide up and through the three,
right?
Or you're doing the pan. Yeah, I'm pancake toss.
That's what all
toss.
The pros pancake do. Toss.
The pros do
the side toss. Yeah, the spin. Yeah. That's what I mean. That's why I can't actually.
My
be
one
pro.
Friend does it like overhand on its side, and it's insane. And it goes in.
No, it's not allowed.
Yeah, that's not allowed.
Yeah. We apparently we have no rules. I don't even know the rules of cornhole. I just do pancake.
You've said some insane things today.
I don't even know if it's overhand, but it's like
I don't know what the hell he's doing, but it's like, just wrong. He should not be allowed to do. If I saw someone do that, I would be melting down. There's no question.
Whoa! Do I have to explain the cornhole rules again?
I will say though, I hate to admit this. I'm like, I've always been great at just. Throwing games. I could always shoot a basketball. Yeah. I could always do
darts.
Like, you know, dart. No, actually, kind of suck at darts.
I suck at darts.
Yeah, kind of sneaky suck at darts, but it's like I never owned a dartboard, and it's always something that's so intimidating because you're at a bar.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many
people
around.
So many people, and like people are playing, and so like you got to step up, and then you're like, oh, there's like I have an object I'm throwing in a bar. I'm a choker. As a choker in that situation with something new. So no, I'm not great at darts, but most like cottage games, I would say that every time I've ever done like a cottage Olympics, I'm usually, you know, top two, top three.
Nice.
You know what
podium
always kills
finish.
Me? No, you know what always podium. Usually first, always podium. Usually first. Champion of all these games. Everybody knows it's true. What kills me in these games, always, beer pong. I'm terrible at beer pong.
Are you? That surprises me.
I know. It's a shot. It's a truly embarrassing black
mark.
That's
the last game I would have guessed.
Yeah, no,
that is shocking.
Terrible at it. Truly terrible at it. Like, I don't know what it is. I've just never been able to be.
Is it like closing it out, like when there's only one cup left, or it's just in general?
Every part,
eh? It's just I suck at beer pong. Mm. Like, and I always have. And there's no excuse. Because I've grown up on it. Like, I've had it my entire life. I've had an entire career of playing. I'm not like you guys, the Gen Zs, where I stayed inside my whole life and played it like maybe six times. It was a novelty. Nope. I'd be playing it basically every week of my life for like a five-year stretch and still terrible. It's like there's two things that I'm just bad at that I just have to accept that I will never be good. One is pool and one is... Beer pong, where it's like I've done it the most and I just stuck. Like pool, I'm so aggressively bad that now I just won't play. I will not play.
I'll just sit on the side and have a beer.
I'm like, there's no point. There's no point. I'm just going to be really bad. I might make two shots the entire time where I kind of feel good and that'll get my confidence up to a like small degree. Right. And then I'll choke immediately after. I'll scratch and I'll just be like, oh, I feel so terrible myself. I'm not a man. That's the difference. Like beer pong, I just feel like I suck at. But pool makes me feel like less of
like
a man.
I know.
So
it feels like something that you should
yeah,
do.
Like
that.
I feel like a burly dude with tattoos is
like
going to come in and just like grab the stick from me and be like, get out of this bar.
Yeah.
Get.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Yeah. You got to go home now.
Did I just see you hit the eight
off
the start?
Exactly.
A low key bad part about being bad at beer pong, I'm assuming a lot of people have tried to give you tips, and that's going to be real annoying. Okay.
So that's what you even say with the boat is I'm a big, like, don't tell me anything guy. Like, unless it's, like, I'll watch. So same thing with the guys who got up on the wake surfboard. It's like, I just need to see what your actual mechanics are. Like, the only reason I got it wrong is that because, again, if you're on water skis or a wakeboard, you're kind of waiting longer for the boat to pull you up.
Right.
And this one, you need to use more of your core and flip your feet a little bit and, like, actually push the board up into the proper position.
Right.
And so it was funny because, like, part of the reason why I'm sore is because I was like holding on to the rope so long. I'm like kind of being like dragged in that position behind the boat, wondering why I wasn't popping up.
Yeah.
And it was like, and it's just like, it's not your arms at all. It's all about leaning back and it's all in your legs to flip up on that thing. And so they were kind of giving me advice from the boat a little bit, but when there's two guys that are sort of yelling different things don't really know what you're doing wrong, whereas I can watch it and be like, yeah. And with beer pong, it's not even like a technique thing. It's like, you know, you're throwing
you're throwing a ping pong at it.
I'm just not good. Like, I'm not like a drain machine. I've been hot a few times. I've obviously won games of it. I've played a million times. So I've had good rounds, bad rounds, but I'm not a consistently, like, when I step up to beer pong, it's like the other games where I know, we're going to be competitive at this game. Like, there's no chance that we're going to just get smoked by somebody.
Yeah.
In this one, we might get dusted. They might get hot. I might not. I might let my partner down. I'm not used to being the bad partner. Armin's money at it, so that's good to know. That's good to know.
Mm. I've always had the pressure on being like, oh, you play ball? You can't throw a ping pong into a cup, you know? So I put the pressure on myself.
He's got the ice in his veins.
Super competitive, always.
All right.
I feel like the wave surfing thing is like once you watch it and like you kind of have the technique, you just have to get reps.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just pure reps. It's not like instruction.
A lot of those sports like end up being the same once you're like actually up on the board in terms of the way that you're controlling your legs and feet.
Yeah.
But yeah. What else? Nothing. That's it. We learned today that Armin and Joe need to have a face off with beer pong.
Armin, I will meet
Nobody
you.
Nobody else stepped up, so I just, it's them. It's these two. Everyone else stayed quiet.
I'm wildly mediocre.
I'm surprised Callum didn't pop up. I always.
Yeah, overly confident Calum.
There he is.
Yeah, overly confident Calum. He's just like, yeah, it'd be amazing at it. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, dust both of you, 6-0. Yeah. Right,
I actually did believe the spike ball thing, though. He said that with that amount of confidence where I was like, no, he's good. He's good.
He's got game.
Yeah, Calum can play. He can play spike ball. He's young. He's had it. He grew up at cottages. He's had enough reps with it.
He's got the length.
He just knew it where he was like, it helps me. And then he even started to do like his stance. And I was like, yeah.
He starts imitating the form.
He looked like a huge like spider monkey. Elsewhere. I was like, yeah, all right. No, he's got it.
Slenderman back there.
Yeah, he's got it. Armin's didn't seem like false bravado. It was weird that you related it to basketball, though, where you're like, it was like, they're different. I think I would beat you in a shooting contest in basketball. I don't think I would beat you in a
I'm ready beer for pong. That challenge, too. Anytime.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at
that. No. I'd have to be 100 years old to lose to you in basketball. Like, there's just no chance. Mackie, what's your best game?
For cottages, I would say badminton. I was
Bringing up what is a boomer. That is a big time. That's a boomer cottage game, right? No one brings badminton.
Badminton is sick.
And badminton, it's kind of already got to be set up.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was with my grandparents.
That's what I'm saying. That's like a different generation cottage game. But you get a sick, if there's a badminton net already set up at a cottage, that's an elite cottage game. Mm-hmm. But again, barrier of entry of you have to bring the net. No one's doing that. I don't think that there's one millennial or member of Gen Z that owns a badminton net.
It's like prerequisites involved. No, that's something
that your parents had at the cottage. But you're right, though.
Great pull, though.
Dude, yes. Thank God you pulled that. What a way to close. Game. We're definitely going out on that. Man, badminton, again, sweet sport because everyone can play. You know what's funny? When I first started playing pickleball, that was kind of the feeling I had where I was like, this is better badminton. Where it was like, you can start to play it. But to start to actually get good and start to get aggressive at the net and then being able to like have a backhand off the, you have to actually spend a bunch of time with it. Like anyone can start to play badminton.
Yeah.
You can serve it and get it over the net.
Yeah.
Like you,
I hope so.
That's pickleball. You can do the same thing, but then all of a sudden you're like, ooh, I'm trying to like, by the end of it, I was trying to like make some like shots down the line. You start to learn the paddle a little bit more.
Spin shots.
You're like, man, if I played this like once a week, I could get pretty good at this thing. Like twice a week, then maybe.
Go pro.
No, I'm a pickleball guy now. Nice. I mean, like actually, if you're listening to this thing, you can get in the DMs and tell me about where you play pickleball and how I actually start making this a reality. I already have a racket.
Wow, you already have the racket? Oh, I think you mentioned that before.
No, but I got it as a gift from my mom because she plays pickleball and she was like, why don't you come play with me? And I was just like, all right. Like,
well, you might now.
Yeah. But I was like, here's the thing. When I was visiting my mom, I was like, I can either drink with people by water or go play pickleball with my mom. No offense. I was like, it was a pretty easy decision. Body of water in the summertime or going into a pickleball gym with a bunch of old ladies and being like, all right, I'm here to
play pickleball.
And if I lose to you, I'll
retire.
Never be able to recover from this emotionally. Or I just end up being way better than you guys, which I should be.
And it's also weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just hammering.
Yeah. It's like if a girl challenges you to arm wrestle, I'm always like, doesn't matter. Just walk away.
Yeah,
just
no
don't
upside.
Don't
walk
do
away.
It.
Walk
like,
away.
Don't
it's
ever
lose,
do it.
Lose.
Girl challenges you to arm wrestling. she's either stronger than you and everyone's going to remember for the rest of your days. And she, it's like, no shame. It shouldn't be shame, but it just is.
Yeah.
And then if you win, people are like, no one remembers. It's like, way to go.
You beat a girl.
Are you that weird dude that
slammed her arm? And,
yeah.
So it's just like, just take the heat, take the pressure. Do not fold.
Yes.
Walk away.
Walk away.
Walk away from girl arm wrestle versus boy.
What a way to end the show.
Yeah.
Life lessons.
Subscribe to the podcast. Leave 5 stars. Hit me a follow on Twitter and Instagram, and hit me up as always. It's betting season, so make sure that you hit me up and you slide in the DMs if you want to play some wagers. A lot of people did this week. We'll get the next Cowards Parlay. Best bet tonight, though, will be coming in. Especially something. I'll find something for this football game. Anyway, we'll talk to you tomorrow.